This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
When the native women start around here and calling these bad names now, you didn't shake it from the view, you picky head, you gotta step on the floor, you ain't got no bed. I knew them long time, them people is mine. The women are fine as long as you stay in line. This is when they start to fight all day long and into the night, licking one another with pan and pot, and they fought one another with rock. I say, I know them long time, them people is mine. The women are fine as long as you stay alive.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 17th of July, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. It's a Wednesday. That means it's a Man Down Mashup Wednesday. We're Guardian Radio AM and on the clock with Erin Green. Sit together to go through what's in the news. I'm going to open the phone lines from the break. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. 242-300-5720 for our Family Island listeners. It is toll free. I'm asking Family Island listeners to call in. There are lots of stories. Mitchell hits out over canceled free dive event on Long Island. Water troubles again in central Eleuthera. Guardian headline, Water and Sewerage Corporation warns Eleuthera residents to brace for water outages. And there are a number of stories. There are a number of stories all related to Family Island affairs to talk about. I want to go through briefly, maybe not so briefly, the recent cannabis stories in yesterday's and Monday's newspapers. And then, of course, we have the story, Cruise Port to create 350 jobs via $35 million water park. I think this has a Family Island intersection as well, because surely there are enough water parks on New Providence already. I didn't think I would have something to add to my list so quickly. Remember, no more Fergusons in the Union. I can never forget the good Wesley Ferguson indicating to the media that the taxi cab union is good for the next 100 years. Ah, boy. We can't have any more Hubert Alexanders in politics. We've had a Chipman, we've had a Minnis, we've had an Ingram. I don't know if we need or can take any more Hubert Alexanders, and we don't need any more Wilsons in finance. Be good with that. And now, to add to the list, surely we need no more water parks in New Providence. We're going to get to that story right after a little housekeeping. I want to remind everybody about the upcoming Hannah Hasty Tynes family reunion. If you're not a Hannah Hasty Tynes family member, but you'd like to become one, sign up for the reunion and come in, fill out the application form, and see if you could be a part of the Hannah Hasty Tynes clan as well. Our reunion's coming up 1st through 5th of August. Mere days away, there's still time to get involved. There's still time to sign up for all or one or two events. There's still time to make donations. There's still time to volunteer.
What do you mean by donations?
We accept in all kinds of donations. But let me tell you what my favorite type of donation is. When you're a family member and you have a recipe that everybody craves for, like whenever you have in the party, everybody come into that party. Like somebody in our family make the most delicious guava rum cake. Mm-hmm. That's the type of donation I'm talking about. Okay. I know somebody in our family make the best baked macaroni and cheese in the country.
Is it going to be any of those books, some booklets? What do you call them, booklets?
Okay, so we're going to have family trees available for purchase?
No, I'm talking about like the booklets when you go to big events, like galas, and they have a booklet with advertisements.
Oh, yes, yes. We will have a booklet, a formal booklet for the reunion. And the
I'm not sure what you call that, but they have ads inside.
And the soiree, there's still time to put ads in the booklet.
Hmm.
You could, if you are a part of the HHT reunion WhatsApp group, and you need more details about ads, the memorial page, ensuring that your family members who have passed are recorded in the booklet for the reunion on the memorial page. And this not, there's also space if you just want to bring a greeting from the matriarch or patriarch of your particular family line.
Hmm.
You could do that as well.
Okay.
You know, I my greatest regret in life, not having children, is now I have to adopt some children so I could say...
It ain't too late. You can have some children.
The Aaron Green clan.
But you still can have some children.
It's always time.
You still young.
Absolutely.
You need me to find someone to help you have one child with?
Listen, you know Jesus?
Okay. Okay.
Because I've been trying.
Yeah.
And I feel like I need
to... How have you been trying?
I mean, not that hard, but I have been trying. I've been, like a PLP try.
What have you been doing?
I can't tell you all of that.
You can't tell me what you've been doing to try to get pregnant?
The contract.
The contract.
Requires secrecy and non-disclosure.
And activity?
No, especially, that's also what NDA means. Non-disclosure of activities.
I just had the visual.
No, don't.
No?
Absolutely do not.
Okay.
HHT family reunion. See, you could get adopted into the family, or you could adopt a family member, and that gives you automatic membership, right? There's all kinds of ways to become a member of the Hannah Hasty Tynes clan.
You don't show no phone number, no? Just because
you're absolutely right. 455-7242. 455-7242. Please WhatsApp. 455-7242. I'm going to pull that, before the end of my section, I can pull all the numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Give it to everybody. Oh, yeah.
I'll try to remember if I remember.
So, Mr. Neary, I've got some cannabis stories on, but I wanted to talk about this one for a little while. Cruiseport to create 350 jobs via $35 million water park. I figured this title was written to lead with the best part of the story, which is 350 jobs.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, do we need a new water park to be able to create those 350 jobs, right?
Hmm.
The next question is, have we hit the saturation point?
Of water parks?
For water parks. On and on New Providence.
New Providence proper.
And surrounding. Because we have Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have Bahama.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget the one at the point.
We have Margaritaville.
Yeah.
That's three.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have RCI.
They're of a different type of water park.
Right.
It's an outside... Pool, not pool, beach type experience.
They all outside beach type experience.
Yeah, no, water park is water park with slides and things. This is like a different, our RCI one, right? Yeah, that's kind of different. But I mean, it's still a water park.
Yeah.
But it's kind of different.
And so the question is, can we tolerate another water park?
This water park is going to be different.
Tell me how.
It's going to be Bahamian owned, mostly, because it's going to be owned by the port. And the government have shares in the port, and then Bahamians have shares in the port. So this is going to be a Bahamian-owned port instead of a privately-owned port. I mean, water park.
Now, are you certain about that?
No.
You ain't certain.
No.
So here's my thing. In this context, what's the weight of Bahamian-owned? I know, like you said, Bahamians who have shares in the port will benefit from any successful project that the port launches.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one benefit of Bahamian-owned, but does Bahamian-owned or partially Bahamian-owned translate to access for Bahamian citizens to the park, to the water park on the port?
Well, the whole of Bay Street has an access issue. There's no parking.
But even if I find parking, I'm cool with that, no parking. I arrange to be dropped off in town, so I don't have to worry about parking. The question is, how and when will ordinary Bahamians be able to access the park? Will they be able to access the park at all? What part of the port will the park be on? Will the security requirements of the space inherently dictate that average citizens or non-cruise passengers can access the port?
Hmm.
Will the port be credit card only? Right? Will it require digital payments only?
Well, the two other water theme parks are credit card only. The three other ones.
Right.
You have to pay with a credit card and charge whatever in that space with credit cards.
Right. So everything is cashless, right?
Cashless, yeah.
Cashless. And does that sort of impede or create a barrier for ordinary people to be able to access the park?
Well, I haven't received or seen a narrative on whether Bahamians would be accommodated first.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not sure if this is going to be for tourists, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or like how, what the one is in Bimini, or if that private Castaway Key.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone could go there once you're on that cruise ship, right? So it's not restricted to Bahamians.
It's restricted to cruise passengers
cruise passengers, right?
Yeah. So that's another concern. Will access to the feature of the port be restricted to cruise passengers only? Will they operate like an Atlantis that offers a discounted rate for residents?
Hmm.
Do the same rules apply? Remember when we were told that there is a rule on the books, even if it is not enforced, that hotels agree to allow Bahamians access to poolside at all times with no restrictions?
I don't know if that's a rule. You can't
Yeah, man, we had...
You cannot go behind in Atlantis pool or Bahama pool.
Pause. You do not have access at this point, right? At this, no pun intended, at this moment. That does not necessarily mean that access should not be permitted. I appreciate what you're saying in terms of the security issues. You can't just let non-hotel guests have unfettered access or free rein to walk through the hotel that paid guests have paid for. But that doesn't mean that you cannot create an access point that allows residents to access the poolside without being able to just sort of float away, go into the room section, walk freely through the hotel. That's possible.
It's possible.
Given the current, I imagine, given the current protocols and security measures of the hotel, that's not a consideration. But if that rule does exist, would the same apply to a water park?
Yeah. And this is a standalone water park, too. All of the other water parks tend to be attached to a hotel. This could be a standalone
concept. What do you mean, standalone?
Okay. All of the casinos are attached to a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a standalone
casino. Right.
All of the water parks are attached to a hotel. We don't have a standalone water park.
Isn't a cruise ship a hotel?
Well, a cruise ship is like a hotel, yeah.
I mean, and so I'm just throwing it out there. Can we make the same comparison? It's the port. It's not RCI. It's not Disney. It's not a specific cruise lines park. But is it fair to say that it is attached to?
I want to ask this question.
Mm-hmm.
This narrative or this demand, this suggestion of a water park, have you heard it before? I mean, in terms of the creation of the port, the cruise port and the development, was this plan to, hey, in year three, year four, we plan to establish a water park and these are the benefits of it. This is the type of money. I never heard that before. This seems to me new.
Let me rephrase it. Remember when Glenys Hannah-Martin risked it all to disagree or to publicly state her disagreement with the port or with one of the, I think it was it the port?
It was RCI.
It was RCI specifically, one of a PI.
They were concerned about the taxis and whatever it is.
I mean, they were concerned about a whole bunch of other stuff, not just the taxis.
I'm still concerned about the taxis with this too.
Tell me why.
The spend time. The average spend time in a water park is 4 to 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
What is the spend time for a cruise ship
passenger
on the ground,
mm-hmm.
right? Not even on the ground, just being parked or what do you call it when you park the boat, whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's 6 hours. That 6 hours is people coming off and doing tours. And if you stop at the water theme park, you don't come out. It becomes a tourist trap. And it seems as if our government, I'll use the government loosely, is now creating a tourist trap at the detriment of Bay Street, who was concerned about the port being a tourist trap already.
Right.
So it seems as if they are constructing that. And I'm not sure if this was thought out especially for historical Bay Street. I'm not sure what is the concept, what is the general theme, what is their objective of saying, man, you know what? I think what is good for Nassau is a water theme park. And of course, the excuse is that they need more activities for the tourists.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have exit polls, the tourists say they want to see more Bahamian concepts, Bahamian experience. And it seems that these people say, man, the hell with the Bahamian experiences. We can create an experience at a detriment of Nassau.
You ever been to a amusement park?
Yes.
You ever been on the ride, like look like an open top train cab?
Yes.
And then you, like you're on a roller coaster and then you swoosh through the water?
Yeah.
That's a Bahamian experience right there. Just make it look like a car and make the hole look like a pothole.
I see what you're trying to do here, I know.
But
mind you, we have a number of stakeholders, culturalists, people inside that the orange economy,
mm-hmm.
who the government has been heralding in the front ground saying, hey, we're trying to create an experience on Bay Street.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems as if that momentum to create a Bahamian experience has been placed on hold to do a quick money agenda to make sure that those people stay inside mm-hmm. the cruise port and experience this type of new water theme park thing.
All right, three things to respond.
Mm-hmm.
Tensions on B, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that there's this grand tension between whether these tourist activities should be on B, right? So close to B.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much other internal domestic things that take place
mm-hmm.
on B. Is, you know, there's a tension between what Bahamians have to do and what tourism stakeholders want to do
mm-hmm.
on Bay Street. So the question arises, do we then transition all of our non-tourist related activities away from Bay Street? See, I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Bay Street has grand significance, right? The House of Parliament is there. I think that has grand significance.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if I want to move the important domestic entities and activities from Bay, but is Bay in that capacity the best place for tourist activities?
Yes.
Right?
In particular, that type of tourist activity.
Right.
We have had concerns about Bay Street being a business sector
mm-hmm.
and tourists
mm-hmm.
and not informed about our culture in terms of being dressed. Right,
mm-hmm.
Tend to come in stores in swimsuits, and of course they get cautioned. Oh, you got to get a wrap up, and then mm-hmm. they say, "Man, no, this in the Bahamas. This is near the beach."
Stick a pin. You know what mm-hmm. we're gonna do?
What we're gonna do?
We're gonna order 10,000. 100,000. Maybe a million like sarongs from somewhere, and then we're gonna let local artists create designs to put on them.
Sarongs on the cruise ship, man, and cheaper. Whatever you do, it could be cheaper.
Listen, that's not the point. I didn't say we was going to sell them. What I'm going to say is
we're going to make them
available for people who are not hitting a cultural standard but are not breaking the law.
I happen to be on a cruise at Cayman,
mm-hmm.
and they have a short pants rule that you cannot come in their House of Parliament. And Emmanuel is a lobby I was trying to get to,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they have like something similar to our House of Assembly, but mm-hmm. it's a big lobby that you can go and take pictures.
Yeah, four year,
right? And of course, I had short pants on like, as a tourist. And I said, no, this is a formal space.
Right. But imagine in Bermuda, shorts are part of the formal wear.
Yeah.
But in Cayman.
Yeah, they're more rigid. I guess they're similar to us. They have long slacks and a collared shirt.
Right.
And I'm saying that with a park, amusement park, a water park, more people will be prone to be mm-hmm. trafficking with their wet place and
through the town, right?
Going in and out of stores with sarongs,
right? Well, I say let's find a way to solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
We're certainly prioritizing Bahamian sensitivities.
I believe tourism trumps Bahamian sensitivities, eh? Again, it's right there.
Whenever you bring Trump in.
Yeah.
So here's another tension about holding this space on Bay. If you move the tourist attractions, the tourist entities. You can't, I mean, even if you move the port, we could do anything we want, right? If you move the port from Bay, does that diminish the average Bahamian's access to the tourism market, right? For instance, every year I'm disappointed that Bay Street is not littered with local fruit vendors.
Mm.
Right? I want to say good morning to the gentleman that hails me. Y'all, in fact, all of us need to say good morning to this gentleman because sometimes he could feel the misery and the rage coming out my car window. And he makes a point every morning to say good morning to me. You guys say good morning to him. He wasn't in his regular spot yesterday, Mr. Newry. That you may have felt that in the show with me yesterday. But mm-hmm. I found him this morning. What's the road in between St. Agnes and was that Southern Recreation Grounds, the baseball park right there? That little road
Cockburn
right there.
Cockburn Street.
He was right on Cockburn. Listen, this boy have the biggest bag of Gnep for $3 you have ever seen. The biggest bag of Gnep for $3 you've ever seen. Mm. I had to buy two. So you guys, if you driving that way, support him. But why don't we have fruit vendors in town proper? And the typical of this is a table with open back so you could keep some of your fruit. You store your fruit, but you have some on display.
Because it gives a shantytown experience. And there are a number of conservative tourist officials and Bahamians mm-hmm. who do not appreciate the natural, the earthy, that germane.
They should eat apples
yeah.
and not even juju. See, they could eat apples because we have juju here.
Mm.
But y'all want shiny apple and
yeah.
and pretty
Macintosh.
Imported fruit.
You need Macintosh.
Yeah.
So yes,
I know some Bahamian Macintoshes. You know they're cool.
Yeah. So they haven't. There's a disconnect in terms of making that space available for Bahamian fruit and Bahamian vendors.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, even though they're still there, there is a uproar about having vendors on that Prince George Wharf because they're mm-hmm. on that side. Right, and remember, they were be told to move,
mm-hmm.
just that it's proliferating, and more people are putting in tables or whatever it is. And store owners are saying, man, they got to go. But as we build the boardwalk, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's another issue to consider, right? Tourism stakeholders say we need more activities for tourists on Bay Street.
That's what the exit polls are saying.
That's what the tourists are saying.
Yes.
Right?
They ain't coming off the ship because there's nothing to do.
So here's my thing. We had, I think, record-breaking tourist arrivals this year. I think March, we had 7 ships in one time,
mm-hmm.
March 2024. 7 ships in one time. Now, that's a whole lot of tourists. I think the max we have had in the record is 29,000 plus tourists, 29,316 visitors in December 2023, and the port hosted 7 cruise vessels at the same time in March 2024.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my, interrogation. Record is 29,316. Full capacity is 30,000. They say the port could handle 30,000
nice.
A time.
Yeah, man, that's a good track.
So when there are 7 ships in town,
mm-hmm.
I understand the value of the extra cruise port,
mm-hmm.
right? Imagine if we were savvy enough to say that we have a water park day for tourists in the Bahamas, we time it, we talk to the cruise ships when we're going to have 4, 5, 6, 7 cruise ships in. That's when you're aiming for it. But a water park day where we advertise all the water parks, all the entities, Atlantis, Margaritaville, Bahama, they all chip into the advertising.
When you say we, or you mean, okay, they pay for it.
They chip in as well. But
can't be my money promoting their stuff. My money for Bahamians. I just say my money for Bahamians.
Well, we're trying to grow an idea so that it could get large enough that both the hotel and the average Bahamian benefits.
I assume the reason why the port said, man, we could make some money and we'll promote the Bahamian-owned water
right,
park.
But if there's only one ship in port, only 2 ships in port, only 3 ships in port, then the park becomes detrimental, I think, detrimental to the Bahamian who is hoping to have access to those tourists.
I agree with that. I'm not sure if the organizers or the people who purporting it thought about it. But for the water park to be a viable entity, it needs to stay open. It needs to have electricity, pumping water, cleaning water, nonstop.
Yeah,
that's a strong power grid type thing.
We are beginning to get to that story as well for our listeners. So let me read some text and then we could start to transition out. The text said, of course, you forgot Pinewood. He said, does Pinewood fit the scientific criteria for a water park? It has a number of rides in it. Good morning, Miss Green. Okay, I got you. Another text. Good morning, Aaron. We have Sand Dollar now. Why not encourage Bahamians to utilize and not speak credit card use being a barrier for entry for Bahamians? Encourage Bahamians to become digitized and request the government to ensure that all businesses accept Sand Dollar. I see the name that you put here for that company. They say to accept Sun Cash. Sun Cash has been one of the most prominent of the Sand Dollar sort of vendors in the market. But it's not just Sun Cash. There are six other AFIs, and then we add the central bank to that.
I just want to interject and say and suggest that the theme park is not Bahamian geared at this present time.
It seems to be
tourist or cruise ship geared. I'm not sure if the tourists to a cruise ship passengers want to change their credit card to Sun Cash or any of those money type.
Right. So watch this. A friend of mine just came back from Kenya, had the most interesting experience. The central bank digital currency down there is like, Mpanya or something. We can call it Mpanya, right? And what's different between them and the Bahamas is that only legal residents in the country can access or use the central bank digital currency.
Okay.
In the Bahamas, I think what has been considered is that we have three tiers of wallet. You have a tier one and a tier two, and then I think you have like a merchant tier, right? But the point is, at tier one, there is limited KYC, your customer regulations, right? But that wallet is limited to no more than $500 per wallet. So I think the idea is to incorporate the Sand Dollar as a cashless option for tourists as well as residents, right? Now, the problem my friend had in Kenya was that she was unable to purchase a whole large amount of things from vendors because vendors are only using the central bank digital currency. I thought, hey, if I were running an Airbnb in Kenya and it fit within the legal regulations, right? It fit within the regulations, I would have at least one phone available for each booking, so that I can load a minimum of 100, say US a day, that you can then use on this phone to trade with vendors in smaller markets, more rural spaces, and spaces where vendors are definitely not carrying cash, right? I think that's also a tool that the way that they've laid it out may also be about creating a deterrent for undocumented migration.
Yes.
So it's harder for undocumented migrants to be able to trade, to be able to buy things because...
And participate in commerce.
Right, because they only have cash while all of the vendors around them are using the central bank digital currency. But I think that the text brings up a great point. How do we then ensure that all businesses accept the central bank digital currency?
I see the central bank is making it mandatory for banks to do business with in this digital currency, Sand Dollar.
I think a financial stakeholder, maybe Gawin Bo, I may be incorrect, has indicated that it's actually legal tender, that they have to, that the banks have to, right, operate with CBDC because it is legal tender.
I'm not sure if there's a great demand. I don't go into the bank right now. So all of my money is on the debit card.
So let's make a distinction. I think it's a great point you made. There may not be a great demand, but there's a great urgency. There's a great need for it. Family Islanders.
The Pine Bank have no bank.
That's the point.
And they never get no bank.
And that's the point.
So they need.
They may not be demanding it because they are still deeply tied to what we can call cash cultures, right? They're deeply tied to cash culture. They're not demanding it, but they urgently need it.
So how is it that a central bank can't even convince the people on the family island to use their digital currency? Why don't the government is made mandatory. Well, let me finish my point. To have part of their payroll, fix that first. To have part of their payroll only in the digital currency sand dollar. That will solve a lot of problems on the family island instantaneously. But I see they're targeting banks instead of targeting government. No. Let government say, man, you 75% of your salary will be cash or
and 25% in
the sand dollar.
Here's a part of, I think, what keeps people in the family islands tied to cash culture. Do we have a digital culture in the family island? Can you have a digital culture when you do not know when your power is going to go off and on? You do not know when communication services and all of these banking services, these online banking services, require electricity and telecommunications. And so that's an obvious reason why people are deeply tied to, Nuri, I was so tied to the BPL crisis. When my partner came here, she would laugh at me because I would do things she wouldn't understand. And I'm trying to show her that these are habits, a culture developed after spending 30 years living in a nice area, a mm-hmm. very nice area. Mm-hmm. But never being able to predict if the power could be on or off when you come home. And certainly in the summer, plagued with power outages. She laughed at me. Mm-hmm. She come from a first world country. We call it first world country. Mm-hmm. She come from a developed country. And these practices were just foreign to her. Here's another text. I sorry we caused you to spill your coffee. Another text says, good morning, Toby won his court of appeal case. Hallelujah. I have the headline here, PI Crown Land Battle in Privy Council. Go ahead, Mr. Nuri, you want to look up that article for me? If you could do it on my phone and I could read from it. It was quite a lengthy article and I didn't get a chance to copy and paste for.
What am I looking for again?
It is PI Crown Land Battle in Privy Council. Go ahead. I can read from today's Guardian in the business section. Smith has 90 days to take PI Crown Land matter to Privy Council. Bayman businessman Captain Toby Smith said that he has been given 90 days to take his Paradise Island Crown Land lease matter to the Privy Council after the Court of Appeal granted him leave to appeal. Smith, who was the principal of Paradise Island Lighthouse and Beach Club, told Guardian Business, quote, the Court of Appeal has specified a bond needs to be paid. That bond will be paid this week. The legal bundle of documents then needs to go to the Privy Council within 90 days from the court order. And then the Privy Council will read and see if they just need a summary hearing or a full-blown hearing. And then they will dictate when the date of that will be, close quotes. Smith lost his initial court matter in the Supreme Court. The verdict was handed down by Chief Justice Sir Ian Winder on the matter of Smith having a right to a parcel of Crown land on Paradise Island that both he and Royal Caribbean International both claimed to have been granted by the then Free National Movement Administration under Dr. Hubert Minnis. Smith then took his matter to the Court of Appeal, where the appellate justices Gregory Smith and Michael Turner upheld the original Supreme Court verdict by Sir Ian and said they saw no reason to overrule or interfere with the Chief Justice's analysis of the case or his legal conclusions. However, then-President of the Court of Appeal, Sir Michael Barnett, dissented in that ruling and sided strongly with Smith and Paradise Island Lighthouse and Beach Club by finding that, quote, there was a binding agreement, close quote, for him to lease a total of 5 acres for the development of a beach break-type destination. This has now led to the Court of Appeal in an oral ruling by Appellate Justice Stella Scott Crane, granting Smith leave to appeal against the ruling and thus allowing him the ability to take the matter to the highest court in the land, the Privy Council in the UK.
Who pays for that?
Smith. I think that's the part when it says, the quote, the Court of Appeal has specified a bond needs to be paid. I think that's like you pay in ahead mm-hmm. of time. We make sure you have the money before we even begin the proceedings.
You're trying to break him. See?
You're not the first person who has suggested that the fees attached to accessing the appeal court, the Supreme Court, and the Privy Council are in nature and effect barriers to justice for the average man. Mm. It's a whole discussion we need to have, but of course we're going to have to wait until the Bar Association is ready to field questions. Mm. Yep, that is a very good story. Here are two more headlines. Well, here's a headline. Top MP's relative in Athol Island project controversy.
Did they call a name this time?
I'm so... How you know that's exactly what I was going to say. Even if I have to say to my own, MP, right? Mm-hmm. Like, please do not follow the path of these senior politicos. Mm. If you can't call the name in the House of Assembly...
The safest place to call names.
Right. Why are you bringing the matter up? Wait until you're ready or are able to call the name.
Play with our emotions.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Especially in an environment where politicians refuse to ensure that their public declarations are disclosed and gazetted per constitutional and statutory requirements.
What month is it now? This is July?
This is July.
We found out any information about declarations yet?
No, lobster season almost opened again.
Yeah. And the prime minister say anything yet?
No.
You don't care about us.
They don't care.
Yeah. You know? I know the opposition leader made noise for like a brief moment.
For 3 minutes.
He don't care about us.
He actually indicated that all of the MPs under his party have declared, but why wouldn't you just find $1,000 and publish your declarations in the paper?
Yeah.
They don't belong to you, they belong to us. Hmm. But see, people say, oh, this is just a frivolous matter.
Yeah.
But how is it that a government can continue to tax a citizenry, ignore public protests, and we like to call complaints about the taxation regime, but at the same time, they refuse to gazette public declarations allowing Bahamians to determine for themselves whether public officials are paying their taxes. We also, did we ever get the beneficial owner bill passed?
I don't even know. I always think about the energizers, and one of the energizers for the Bahamas should be accountability. Mm-hmm. There is no accountability by the Progressive Labour Party because we have no declaration as yet. And because they continue to ignore it months later, right, it tells the tale of how they see us. But of course, when you're part of a gang, mm-hmm. you are a red gang or yellow gang, you tend to ignore what's there for because of your democracy and your lineage or...
Your political affiliation.
And mind you, we have a number of ordinary citizens who have access to the Prime Minister to say, man, Mr. Prime Minister, just give us the information, man. Let's shut these set people up. They don't really care.
We
don't care.
I'm going to ask you to look up another story. I'm almost certain I have it here in my bag. It's the BPL story. But thank you, producer. Let's go to a break. When we come back from the break, I want to read from the headline, BPL cannot supply cruise port 60 megawatt power need. Oh, I found it right here. We go into a break when we get back from the break.
I want to know who proposed this water park thing. This was not a part of the agenda.
And was the water park thing on the table when y'all were determining how much energy you're going to need for the port?
Because we should have known that they had, or they should have known that they will not have that type of energy.
Right. But I can tell you what I remember from the conversation a couple of months ago. You're on the clock with Aaron Green and Guardian Radio AM mashup session on this Wednesday. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News Sales Representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters,
no job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it. Just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Attention Bahamas. Embark on an inspiring voyage with two new books by Hubert Ingram, Our Remarkable Three-Time PM. Learn of his exceptional leadership in steering the nation through local and international storms. These books are a treasure for all Bahamians. Are you into history or seeking inspiration? Then this is a must-read. Available at Dungalik, Logos, the National Art Gallery, and Chapter 1. Get your copies today. Be inspired by a legacy of wisdom and vision.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. Of course, this is C.A. Nuri. Erin had to step out. She's going to be back shortly. But in the meantime, we're going to continue the conversation. And the headline she was talking about was BPL cannot supply cruise ports 60 ML power need, right? And I was asking, how did we get into this debate regarding this cruise port and this water theme park, right? Was this part of the original deal? And whether the company knew as they were constructing the cruise port that they would need more power facilitation. And whether new hotels, because we keep on building new hotels, right? Whether they would need to have access to new power supplies or more power supplies. So the government is seeking bids for our key LNG facility, Shore Power, to boost Nassau competitiveness. See that LNG? Like everything is just tying in, right? And cut vessels' import emissions while docked, right? And the article goes like this, and this article is in the business section of the Tribune, right? This article is by N. Hartnell, Tribune News Media. Oh, you're back in time. That was quick.
Ask me where we're going.
Where are you going?
I got a call from the Mango Man.
Oh, okay.
When the Mango Man called, you get the answer.
Okay, that's your business. But I'm saying you might as well read then.
How far did we get in the article?
We didn't start yet.
Good
you
stuff.
Just came in. I just say where the newspaper, which newspaper it's in, who wrote the article, and this about to start reading. You repeat that.
All right, again, Nassau Tribune yesterday, Tuesday, July 16th. BPL cannot supply cruise ports 60 megawatt power need. The government is seeking private sector bids to supply up to 60 megawatts of power to vessels at Nassau Cruise Port because Bahamas Power and Light, quote, cannot supply, close quotes, this demand. Wow. The bidding document, which has been seen by Tribune Business, says the Davis administration has partnered with BPL in, quote, exploring measures, close quotes, to provide the hundreds of cruise ships that call on Nassau annually with clean energy via power generated by liquefied natural gas.
Can I pause there? Like, what does that mean they partner with BPL? Is the government partnering with BPL? Why is the government partnering with BPL?
The government is.
Is the BPL? Okay, so it's a government issue.
The government is seeking private sector bids to supply up to 60 megawatts. Why isn't BPL seeking?
That's what you're trying. Why are we partnering? It was a BPL issue.
Because BPL cannot supply this demand.
Yeah. That's their issue.
Here's my thing. Is it June, end of May into June, you lay out this comprehensive ERA? This new energy, new era in energy. And y'all didn't figure this part out before you had your big launch?
Is the government involved because they have percentage interest in
the port?
Right.
Right. Why is it the government that is seeking the private sector bids and not BPL itself seeking the private sector bids?
Or the port as an independent entity
seeking the bids. The provision of the 60 megawatt, known as, quote, shore power, close quotes, would enable docked cruise ships to shut down their diesel generators when in port. This would reduce their emissions of carbon dioxide and other pollutants when in Nassau, enabling this nation to become a greener, more sustainable, and that's in quotations, quote, a greener, more sustainable, close quotes, maritime industry operator. Now, let me tell you why I don't like that sentence. When I read that sentence, it makes me feel like you're trying to convince me why I need to pay for it.
Yeah. It's saving us.
Right. That this would reduce their emissions of carbon dioxide and other pollutants when in Nassau, enabling this nation to become a greener, more sustainable maritime industry operator.
I said that the cruise line pay for that. You can't dock in our dock unless you help us build this, facilitate this greener space. Why do I got to pay for it? Brian said we got to pay for it, but anyway.
I wouldn't even word it like that. Unless you can't dock here unless you are prepared to commit to a shared strategy to ensure that you can always come and dock here.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking regular political gangsterism. What we're saying is if we cannot sustainably manage this place, there will be no port for you to bring your boats to.
I say we need to suggest that the government, when they suggest that we pay, if they suggest that we pay for it, let the cruise port, not the cruise port, the cruise lines help pay for this.
Mm-hmm. But here's my thing. First of all, why can't BPL / the government build it and then through the fees charged to the cruise companies, you recuperate the money that you have spent? You lead the charge, but the same thing you do to us, right? We're gonna do this brand new thing and you have to pay for it.
See, my thing is that the port is a private entity.
Mm-hmm.
When they start charging, only those people who have invested in the port gets the profit. What about me, who taxpayer, who's not invested in the port, but you're using my money? How do I get my money back?
Are they using the 49-49-2 rule?
I have no idea. I forget.
I have to reread if the port is using the 49-49-2. Mm-hmm. I think this is the BTC deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But see, my thing is, it makes it seem that my payback as a taxpayer who may be investing in making sure this happens, right, is that we get a greener environment. But your payback is you get a greener environment plus money.
Plus green in your wallet.
Yeah, see, something is unfair.
Right, and we're still not sure how the average citizen will benefit from any carbon credits generated by our ability to sequester carbon in our natural environments. I see we have a call, producer. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Aaron. Good morning, C. I hope you're doing well.
Yes, sir.
Aaron, C, help me to understand this, right? The minister for BPL said that they needed like almost $500 million in order to fix BPL, right?
Right.
This company that they formed, something great or whatever it is.
Bahamas Grid.
They, first of all, they ain't got no money. So if you're looking for $500 million, this company is now, I think they came up with $30 million, whatever it is. They're now seeking to raise $100 million from out of the Bahamian economy in order to fix BPL. Couldn't the government do the same thing in order to fix, to raise like the opposition leader said, and in order for anybody to participate in this bond offering, you must have at least $50,000. CA, do you have a slow 50 you can lend me till I get my dividend and I pay you back?
No, that's my wife's money.
Oh, you'll work it out. Because
I wish the government would say that. I wish the government would say, no, that's the citizens' money.
Yeah. See, the average person, it's not going to benefit from this. Maybe those financial institutions that have pension funds and so on and so forth could, but it's not for the average person. And so, you know, this year, you know, it's ludicrous what they're doing, in my opinion. Yeah, and yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah. I read this in the record. Says the Shore Power Initiative is not a new plan. This was always the plan to introduce shore power through private partnership.
I'm gonna find my notes, right? But I remember when it was indicated that the port would be tied into the, is it the East Street Power Station, the substation right there? And I asked the question, what will happen when the port needs more power? Will the ordinary residents that are tied into that network or that unit, would they have to experience what we affectionately call load sharing or load shedding?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Will they have to experience? That's a question I put on the table. If the port is tied into this existing grid, who's going to win and who's going to lose when there's a power issue, right? Like when the port needs more power.
I remember that discussion.
But I don't remember seeing any specific conversation as to the way forward on the port's access to power in the articles that I've researched.
This is another text saying that the point of the RFP is to bring on a partner that would provide the power. No one is suggesting taxpayers pay for it. So we don't have to worry about this at all.
Nobody ever suggests.
Right, I'm asking whether we got to pay for it.
Right. It's the question that's on the table. But here's another consideration. There's a cost. There are costs to everything. Right? And it's like a cell phone. You could go buy a bubbler for $69. Right? You crack your phone, you go buy a bubbler for $69. It's smart enough for you to, it's smart enough for you to go online, touch screen. But you know what the actual cost of that $69 device is? First of all, the device probably only costs $5 to make.
Hmm.
But what about the lives of the young Africans that are in mines right now, digging up the minerals and elements used to put together this little phone they make for $10 and sell to you for $69? What's the cost, right? There are other costs associated. And so we also want to interrogate, what's the impact of this on the lives of those immediately surrounding it?
But it seems, at least to the texter, that no money is going to be coming out of taxpayers' pockets. That is all going to be privately funded, right? And that the government is seeking a strategic partner who's going to pay for this all.
Okay, when you say strategic partner, it suggests to me that you share the weight.
There can't be no share the weight. The Texans say that the strategic partner is going to be
paying for
that. Because it goes back to me, then I can complain again.
And then the cruise ports paid them directly back.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Let's go to the phone line and then let's prepare to end this hour. Producer, good morning, caller.
Hey, good day. I'm Aaron and Nuri.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, you see, the not so smart people then would take our energy section of providing the crews, people, them energy supply, they snatch that. Well, we can't make no money through BPL, right?
Right.
Now,
I think, go on.
Yeah, that pocket of income, basically what they say, and they sign it to this so-called Sure Energy or whatever. So, in other words, you're in the service to make no money off them, and you ain't got no 50,000, like the other caller said, to get in this. Because we want y'all trying to make no money off these cruise port people. You see, they know what they're doing, so they need to.
Sir, you caused me chuckle just now. I got to go to the brig. We just need more details. We just
it ain't in our business because we ain't got 50,000 more. They just want 50,000. People with just 50,000, you know.
Well, I could be honest with you. If I had $50,000, I invest in that and see grape and mango.
And what we have to do?
I gotta go call her.
Yeah, don't elect no more beating on the desk, fellas. Them, okay?
Okay, for that.
All right.
Absolutely. We're going to a break. Thank you for tuning in to On the Clock with Aaron Green. When we come back after this break, Mr. C.A. Nuri going to take the helm. You look at me just now and say, I am the captain now.
Yeah, yeah. We'll continue the conversation.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back.